Welcome to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. On today's show, we're going to learn about deep brain stimulation surgery at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, get an update from the DAV of Minnesota, and check in with our county veteran service officers. But first, it's time for Generally Speaking, a weekly message from the Adjutant General of the Minnesota National Guard, Major General Sean Mankey.
During the month of February, we celebrate Black History Month. This is a time for us to recognize the rich cultural heritage and contributions of African Americans. There are memorable moments and individuals throughout Black history who've contributed to our nation's military. In the late 1800s, the Buffalo Soldiers, an armored cavalry regiment, were known for their courage and discipline as they patrolled the Western Plains and fought in the Spanish-American War. During World War II, the Tuskegee Airmen, a group of African American aviators, took the fight to the Nazis with an impressive level of success. Our Minnesota military shares a story of Black history as well. The storied 16th Battalion, a group of patriots who, in defiance of prejudice and an ill-advised policy, volunteered to keep the community safe during the First World War. Led by Captain Clarence Wigington, the 500 members of the 16th Battalion served Minnesota with distinction and as a Minnesota Home Guard. It's in this spirit of patriotism, selfless service, and duty that the men and women of the Minnesota National Guard serve today. And it's this spirit that makes your Minnesota National Guard strong and ready to respond.
Thank you, General Mankey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. As I said at the opening, we're going to talk about deep brain stimulation surgery at the Minneapolis VA. And joining me to discuss that topic is Robert McGovern, a doctor out at the Minneapolis VA. And, Doctor, welcome to Minnesota Military Radio.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Doctor, I hope you can do it better than I say it. Deep brain stimulation surgery.
Yeah, it's a mouthful.
I got it right that time.
You did.
But I want to talk a little bit about how many years did you spend in education?
A long time. Yeah, you should. You can ask my wife how many years it took. After medical school, I did 7 years of neurosurgery residency, and then one more year after that because the seven wasn't enough, and did a year of fellowship. So 8 years of training specific to neurosurgery after, you know, four years of medical school. I took an extra year. So 5 years of medical school. So 13 years in total.
Get your undergraduate and then you get the medical school and then you become a doctor in training. Is that a good term?
Yeah. After medical school. Yeah. That you're a doctor who is training, I guess. That's a good term.
And now you are a functional stereotactical neurosurgeon, specializing in the treating patients with epilepsy and in providing deep brain stimulation surgery for relieving symptoms in patients with movement disorders such as Parkinson's disease and essential tremors. How did you get to the Minneapolis VA Healthcare Center?
Yeah, that's a good question. So I got here after I did that 1 year fellowship where we focused on epilepsy surgery and surgery for and deep brain stimulation surgery, looking for jobs and kind of was recruited as to be a neurosurgeon who worked at the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA. So, you know, there's been a long standing partnership between the university and the VA here. The Minneapolis VA has wanted to start this deep brain stimulation surgery program or DBS program for a while because we have a really strong program focused on rehab and taking care of vets with Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders like we talked about. But this was the piece that was kind of lacking, the surgery piece, which is a big an important part of it.
So you split your time between the University of Minnesota and the Minneapolis VA Medical Center?
That's right.
And how long have you been doing that, sir?
For a little over 3 years. So I started in August of 2018.
Okay. We're speaking with Dr. Robert McGovern from the Minneapolis VA on Minnesota Military Radio. The topic today is what you do, deep brain stimulation surgery. Sounds complicated. The first part sounds good. Deep brain stimulation. How about a head massage? That sounds good. But when you start saying surgery, that gets a little scary.
Yeah. Yeah. It does sound a little scary. I think it's a surgery that actually is done through kind of two small incisions and is definitely on the less invasive side, but it is still surgery. But it's a really good option for patients with those diseases that we talked about, Parkinson's, essential tremor, and dystonia, in terms of treating the symptoms really well. Yeah.
And the symptoms you're talking about is like the shakes or
yeah,
uncontrollable movements?
Right. So for Parkinson's disease, the main symptoms in Parkinson's are that tremor in your hands often, stiffness, body stiffness, slow movements. Those are the main things in Parkinson's disease that surgery treats. And medication treats it well as well. But over time, what happens is medication starts to lose its effectiveness. And so the idea behind the surgery is to really extend that good quality of life that folks with Parkinson's can have for longer, essentially. And so it's not a cure. We don't have a cure for Parkinson's yet, but it's a surgery that lets vets live their lives the way they want to for longer, basically.
So it's a treatment that gives some relief.
Yeah, symptom relief, exactly.
So, Doctor, mm-hmm. somebody must have discovered the relationship between the brain function and the tremors and the movements that you can't control. Is this relatively new? It must be.
Interestingly, people have been doing surgery for Parkinson's for 60, 70 years. And in fact, they were doing surgery not necessarily with electrodes through tiny holes, but they were folks have been doing surgery to create little lesions or little holes in the brain to treat Parkinson's as long ago as the 1940s or 50s. In the 1960s, when it was found that Parkinson's is due to the death of certain kinds of brain cells that produce this chemical called dopamine in your brain, this medication that to replace that dopamine came out called levodopa. And then people kind of abandoned surgery for Parkinson's after that. And then when we found out that, medications can have side effects and wear off over time, we kind of figured out that putting electrodes in the brain or stimulating the brain can work just as well or better than those old lesioning procedures. And so now we have this kind of combination of treatments between medication and surgery, which can work really well. Yeah.
So, Doctor, does this have any relationship to pain stimulators that are used on other parts of the body?
Kind of. They probably work in somewhat similar ways. The idea is, when we put these electrodes in the brain, our brain is communicates kind of like electrically, right? And so these stimulators are hooked up to a battery that sits in your chest, and the battery sends out electrical pulses. And the idea is that we're probably resetting the electrical activity in a very important part of the brain that is responsible for those things, movements, tremors, body stiffness. And something about that stimulation, kind of resets those networks. It's like a brain pacemaker, kind of.
So as a disease like Parkinson's progresses, you can use some, I imagine, exercise and all the things everybody else does, and then some medications. And as it progresses, then this is another treatment that can kind of push it down the road a little bit.
Yeah, exactly. It's usually, at least kind of 5 years after somebody's diagnosed with Parkinson's where we start thinking about surgery. And once you start to enter that window where that medication starts to lose its effectiveness or people start to have side effects where, if you've ever seen Michael J. Fox when he is on TV, sometimes you really see him moving a lot, like have these kind of uncontrollable kind of rhythmic movements. Those are called dyskinesias. That's related to the medication. And so once folks start to have those, surgery is really good at treating those types of movements as well. And so that's when we start thinking about, entering that window and then extending that period of time that folks can get benefit.
Doctor, we have to take a short break. When we come back, we're going to talk with Dr. Robert McGovern more about deep brain stimulation surgery. This is Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking to Dr. Robert McGovern from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, and we've been discussing deep brain stimulation surgery. and what it's used for, and essentially it's used to treat uncontrollable movements and shaking and so forth. But doctor, you mentioned several diseases. Parkinson's was one.
Mm-hmm.
What are the symptoms? What's Parkinson's cause? Does that cause the tremors and the shaking?
Right. Yeah. So Parkinson's is caused by, like we talked about, certain kinds of brain cells basically dying over time. We don't know the reason or the cause. We do know that vets who are exposed to Agent Orange have a higher risk of developing it. And so it's a disease that's kind of directly relevant to vets. And for whatever reason, the death of those brain cells causes the symptoms of Parkinson's. So, yeah, shaking in your hand, usually one of your hands or sometimes both, slowness of movement, stiffness, those are the main ones, yeah.
And the second one that we were talking about is something called essential tremor.
Yeah. So essential tremor is a disease where folks get tremor, and again, hands, sometimes arms, legs, head, even their voices, but it tends to come out when they're moving. So in Parkinson's, is usually folks have a tremor just when they're kind of sitting still. But in essential tremor, the tremor doesn't come out unless they're trying to do something, trying to move their arm or their hand. So it's really disabling because you can imagine anytime they want to take a drink of water, have a cup of coffee, the tremor comes really out. And, you know, folks can't feed themselves. They can't have a cup of coffee. They can't do a lot of those things. So, deep brain stimulation for that actually works really, really well. We had our first vet, that we implanted a couple months ago. And, yeah, it's been, like, life-changing for him. So.
And dystonia is another?
Yeah, dystonia is another movement disorder where folks get this kind of involuntary or something that they can't control, muscle contraction. So, you know, their neck will kind of get contorted, or hands or fingers or toes will kind of get curled up, cramped, and deep brain stimulation can really help with that a lot.
So, doctor, these three, Parkinson's, essential tremor, dystonia, as those diseases progress, does it just get worse and worse each year, and your treatment options get narrower and narrower?
Usually that's kind of what happens, yeah. So in Parkinson's, we kind of talked about medications and then entering that window where surgery can help. For essential tremor, a lot of folks will have their tremor for years, decades. But then it will kind of get to the point where, you know, like we talked about, they can't feed themselves. They can't have a drink of water. They can't do any other, you know, they can't hunt, they can't fish, they can't do any of that stuff. And medications usually do not work, so well for essential tremor. And then, yeah, similarly, dystonia. So lots of times folks will do something like Botox to help with dystonia. But that usually kind of wears off over time as well. And then, once that stops working so well, people will start thinking about surgery.
So, doctor, during that progression through any of those three diseases, I would think that your patients are going to become more and more depressed and about their inability to do normal functions.
Yeah. That's definitely something that brings folks in. You know, like you said, obviously, when you're thinking about brain surgery, it's a big deal. So, for folks to really consider it, they really want to. It's got to be affecting their lives. And so, yeah, people don't go out. They can't go out to a restaurant anymore or do any of the things that they enjoy. So yeah.
We're speaking with Dr. Robert McGovern from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. So, doctor, I think you made reference in the first segment to a pacemaker.
Mm-hmm.
As you go through some kind of a heart problem or heart disease, irregular heartbeat, a lot of times the guys have a pacemaker put in and they get this. When the heart isn't beating right, they get this stimulation to get it back into rhythm.
Right.
Is this deep brain stimulation surgery, is that an implant, and does that work similar?
Yeah, exactly. It really is kind of like a brain pacemaker. So there's a battery that sits in your chest, and it's hooked up via a wire to the electrode that's actually in your brain, and it's basically sending out electrical signals the whole time.
How does it know when to send a signal?
There is a program, basically, that's kind of programmed into the battery. And so after we do the surgery, we put everything in, all the hardware, then the vets will kind of meet with the neurologist afterwards, who's not a surgeon but takes care of these folks afterwards. And he'll basically program the settings in, see, for example, if their tremor gets better at a certain setting, or their movements or their stiffness or whatever get better. If it doesn't, then he'll try a different setting. And kind of this process goes on for the first few months after surgery until folks get on a stable setting. And then it's just programmed in and working all the time.
So once you've done that, you've fine-tuned it, is what I'm hearing.
Yep.
You fine-tune it as you go. Everybody's different.
Exactly.
What does that mean to our veterans? Do they get a reprieve for a period of time? Are they able to do more things?
Yeah, I mean, I wish I could show you the we have some videos from our first patient who has essential tremor. But, you know, for example, if you asked and we did in the operating room, even we asked him to draw a spiral on a piece of paper to get a sense for how bad the tremor was. And if you look at the spiral at the beginning, it just looks like a bunch of lines going back and forth. And then by the end of the surgery, you know, he basically drew a perfect spiral, you know. And so it's for something like essential tremor, you can basically make it almost completely go away. Yeah.
So you said in essential tremor, we've all seen pictures where someone picks up a bottle of water and they can't get it to their mouth without spilling it.
Yep.
That can allow them to drink some
just
water and
pick it up like normal. Mm-hmm.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty amazing.
Now, what's your expectation? Can this last for a long period of time, or don't we know?
Yeah, there is some evidence that it, you know, the effectiveness of it can wear off over time. Some folks, it'll last forever. And in some folks, it starts to wear off, you know, 5-10 years down the road. We don't know exactly why that is, but that's where that fine tuning afterwards can kind of help too. If you have an experienced neurologist like we do here in Minneapolis, they can help kind of navigate that road.
Doctor, that's a wide window, especially if you're treating like Vietnam vets that are my age or older.
Sure.
And they're debilitated. And
yep.
Now you can give them some reprieve and get back to life and enjoy their family.
Yep.
What a terrific thing that you're doing for our veterans.
Yeah. Yeah. We're really excited about the program.
So, Doctor, if any of our listeners are suffering from Parkinson's or essential tremor, dystonia, what do they need to do to get a hold of the Minneapolis VA and see if you can help them?
Yeah. So right now we're trying to put in place basically a system for getting folks from the entire VISN into the Minneapolis VA.
And the VISN is the regional,
right? So Western Wisconsin, Minnesota, the Dakotas, Iowa, Nebraska. And so the easiest way, I think, is to talk to your doctor and see a neurologist. And we're basically kind of putting the word out to all of the neurologists within our region to let them know that this program's happening here, and we'll try to do the rest of the work for them. But
so if you're getting your medical care at the Minneapolis VA healthcare system, talk to your primary care doctor and ask him about deep brain stimulation surgery if you're suffering from Parkinson's, essential tremor, or dystonia.
You got it.
Doctor, I'm glad you're out here at the Minneapolis VA taking care of our veterans, and I'd like to thank you for joining us today.
Of course. Yeah, I'm happy to be here.
This is Dr. Robert McGovern from the Minneapolis VA Healthcare System on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. When we come back, we're going to check in with the DAV of Minnesota. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. In a moment, we're going to check in with the DAV of Minnesota. But first, it's time for the Commissioner's Corner, a weekly update from the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs. Now, here's Commissioner Larry Herkey.
February is Black History Month, and I want to take a moment to honor all African-American veterans, those serving today and those have served throughout history. African Americans have played a significant role in our military history over the past 300 years, despite adversity and limited opportunities. Veterans of every race, color, and creed have strengthened our country, and diversity makes us stronger as a nation. Join me in celebrating Black History Month by honoring the significant contribution African Americans have made to our state and country.
Thank you, Commissioner Herkey. For more information, please go to MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. So I said we're going to check in with the DAV of Minnesota today, and joining me now in the studio is their executive director and their legislative director, Trent Dilks. Trent, welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio.
It's always good to be back. Appreciate you having me.
Trent, I want everybody on the Minnesota Military Radio Network to know that we had a We had a little emergency today, and we needed a guest, and you stepped up and ran over here, and we appreciate you coming in.
Yeah, it was a rough assignment, but I was happy to leave the paperwork behind for a day and come on over.
All right, we won't tell the adjutant that, but I'm glad you're here. We haven't visited about DAV for a while, but one of the things that we talk about on a regular basis is the DAV transportation program. You've got vans all over the state, and you're helping veterans get to their medical appointments all through the pandemic and for many years.
Yeah. I like to remind people we've been in transportation since Mr. Ford borrowed us our first 10 Model Ts. That's how long we've been transporting veterans. That's a true story. And now we've got 36 of them in Minnesota. We stayed open and running safely throughout the pandemic. As soon as COVID had an outbreak, we got right there with VA leadership, made sure that they understood the number one barrier to our veterans between them and their care is transportation. And there are veterans who have to be able to get in, and we're proud to be able to do that.
Trent, we've learned over the last couple of years that the VA Medical Center has used the virtual technology to make it easier for some of those veterans during the pandemic to get in contact with their primary care and their doctors. But at some point, our veterans need to get in there, and they need to be in person. They need to get to their appointments.
It's absolutely true, and that's who we were serving throughout the pandemic. Our volunteers especially stepped up. Dialysis, blood tests, if you're on blood thinners. There are things, cancer treatments, that you have to be able to get into, and those are the appointments the DAV is proud to be able to offer services throughout this and continuing on forward.
Trent, I know that DAV's raised hundreds of thousands of dollars to buy those vans, and you keep replacing them as they wear out. The one thing that maybe our listeners don't know is all those drivers are volunteers.
All of the drivers are volunteers, and I tell you, they are amazing. They're an amazing group of volunteers. I like to remind volunteers, you know, it's flexible. You can come in, you know, on your schedule. But deep down, I know I was in transportation for 5 years. You get hooked on it. You get hooked on helping veterans, on bringing them to those appointments, and they're just an amazing group. But we are always looking for more. We have a shortage. Unfortunately, we do have some idled vehicles right now while we look for more volunteers.
Who's eligible to be the driver?
If you have a relatively clean driving history, if you can pass a basic physical, and then you're willing to give back to give to veterans. You don't have to be a veteran. Like I say, the one day a week, one day a month, you set the schedule. We'll find the veterans. You drive our vehicle. You're covered under the VA as a volunteer. You drive a DAV vehicle, and you can get out there and really make an impact.
Now, do you coordinate some of that with the county veteran service officers?
We work very closely with the county veteran service officers. Many of our vehicles are actually stationed out there in a partnership with our CVSOs. If you're looking for a ride and you're in greater Minnesota, DAVMN.org, or start at your county veteran service officer. They also know where we're at.
So wherever you're living out there and across Minnesota, if you're listening to this, even if you've got one day a week on Tuesdays, and I got Tuesdays, I could drive that van and go down to Minneapolis and back. Just get a hold of DAVMN.org.
Absolutely.
And they can sign up right online.
They can get all the information right there. They can reach out to us, and we will get back to you. We're in need of volunteers. I'm sure they're out there, and moving forward, we're going to be able to do some good things.
DAVMN.org. We're speaking with Trent Dilks, who's the executive director of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Trent, I want to talk about the outdoor program. I think it was slowed down a little bit during the pandemic. Are you back in action this year?
Yeah, it necessarily slowed down, but back in action here this upcoming week. 24 veterans going up north ice fishing. I'm not an ice fisherman. I don't quite understand it, but some of our veterans enjoy it, so they're going to go out there and play on the ice. You know, our outdoors program, it is no expense. None of our services ever are an expense to our veterans, but we cover everything. We get them out there for a first-class experience. They get a chance to decompress and really build relationships with their fellow veterans in a kind of fun sporting environment.
Trent, does the DAV Foundation get involved in the outdoor programs?
Yeah, and so we have our foundation, and one of the ways we do that is partially fund it. And in another way, we've just started a program. This is going to be announced on our website, so I'm breaking a little news here, to send veterans on non-hunting and fishing. So up to Isle Royal, sea kayaking. We're going to send a group out to Olympic National Park, all expense paid, to go out there, experience that. We're partnering with a fully adaptive accessible outdoors program so that veterans with barriers can participate in these things, a trip up to the Boundary Waters, a lot of great things coming out.
So we want to get our disabled veterans here in Minnesota outdoors. Get them outside, get them some fresh air, get them out with the guys and gals.
There are so many benefits to just getting back to the outdoors and connecting with fellow veterans and experiencing that, and that is our goal. That's what we're trying to do.
Trent, we just mentioned the DAV Foundation. We haven't talked about that much on the radio. What's the mission of the foundation?
Our foundation is out there to either support groups that are doing things well. So there are some organizations that are addressing needs. We don't want to duplicate services. Or if there are areas that are there gaps in services, then we'd like to step in and fill those gaps in services for our veterans as well.
Okay, and I understand there's a new program that the DAV Foundation has got. Trent, it's like you're not understanding ice fishing. I can't carry a tune in a box. But I understand the foundation has a new music therapy
program. We have a music therapy program, a physical presence that covers over 30 counties from metro down to southern Minnesota. The ability to remotely access veterans. It's for veterans, current service members, their family members. We ended up partnering with Healing Rhythms Music Therapy. They provide the music therapy for Mayo Clinic, top-notch organization. We offer now access to music therapy at no expense to the veteran or their family.
Now, is this focused that veterans that maybe are having some issues related to their service in the military and they're kind of stirred up all the time and maybe the music settles them down a little bit? Is that what I'm hearing?
Yeah, and these are licensed therapists that use music to access it. And actually, music therapy has its foundation World War II. The Department of the War at the time was the first organization to look into music therapy and music and how it could impact shell shock was what it was called at the time, post-traumatic stress now, and the impacts and positive impacts it could have on them. So them, children that are going through difficult times, sometimes the difficult time comes when the parent comes home from a deployment. We're there to help them with this program.
So DAV Foundation working with music therapy. Information available on the website?
Absolutely, davmn.org.
All right, very good. Trent, we've only got about a minute left here. We have to take a short break. But I want to ask you about the Commander's Task Force. It's made up of the American Legion, VFW, AMVETS, Paralyzed Veterans of America, DAV, of course, Military Order of the Purple Heart, Marine Corps League, got to let those Marines in, and the Jewish War Veterans. The Commander's Task Force, the commanders of all of those organizations, get together on a regular basis, and they start talking about legislative priorities for the coming legislative year.
Absolutely. It brings together the largest and oldest organizations for veterans in Minnesota, and it tries to map out a way to make positive changes through the legislature.
So you combined your membership, and you've got a plan to go up to the Capitol each year and talk about priorities.
Yep, speak in one voice and try to get things done.
Well, Trent, we're going to talk about that when we come back, and we're going to talk about Veterans Day on the Hills coming up this spring. We're speaking to Trent Dilks from the DAV of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Please stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Minnesota Military Radio. I'm your host, Tom Lyons. We've been talking with Trent Dilks, who's the Executive Director of the Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota and the longtime Legislative Director. That's been kind of your passion and things that you like to work on. You've been working on that a long time.
I have. I'm now a known entity over there, I guess, for better or worse.
Yeah, we want to talk today a little more about the Commander's Task Force, made up of those eight veteran service organizations that we mentioned. And you guys have been meeting ever since those folks were elected as commanders and president last summer.
Yeah.
And putting together a list of legislative priorities.
Yeah. We try to get to work as quick as we can. Unfortunately, some are carryovers for 6-7 years. But we try to get that ball rolling, get the new commanders up to speed and start out of the gate strong there.
And Trent, one of the things that as a Vietnam veteran that I was happy to see that passed a while back was coverage for our Blue Water Navy veterans, because they were carrying some of that Agent Orange and they were exposed to it. And how are those claims going?
Oh, in the Blue Water Navy, this is one I usually get pretty fired up about. That was 29 years. A bureaucrat made a decision in D.C., denied access to care and benefits for 29 years to our Blue Water Navy veterans. Now they are able to file claims. There's, of course, a backlog because it made eligible a lot of injured, ill veterans. And the other group, the one we're really working hard to try to address, is a lot of those veterans got sick and died of Agent Orange illnesses before they had benefits. And now their survivors are eligible, and we've got a lot of work there because they were told for 30 years, you get nothing, and now we got to get them back into their CVSOs, VSOs, whoever's going to file for you, and start to get them to access those claims because that's a long time to be told no. And now the law has changed, and we need to get them their benefits, them and their survivors.
So if we lost a Navy veteran due to Agent Orange and those kind of, those presumptive diseases, does the family, when they talk to the county veteran service officer, have to prove that he was eligible to receive benefits and then try to get the benefits due for the families?
Yeah, there is a, you know, it goes into a lot of minutia of whether they had filed and been denied or not and things like that. The best thing to do is see your CVSO. They will. There's a long list of diseases that end up with our Vietnam veterans passing away as a result of that creates the eligibility. Then we're able to take care of the surviving spouses. There could be back pay. There are going to be some very large back pays that come out of this for our veterans as well.
And you've got something you're working on with the state legislature about the survivors?
Yeah, and now that it's out of the hands of the federal government, we got some work to do here at the state. There's a property tax value exclusion for surviving spouses of those who die in or as a result of their service. So think of if you're wounded or you're exposed to Agent Orange and you pass away from one of those cancers, that is going to establish that eligibility. The problem with the law is it's within 2 years of the death of the veteran. While some of our Navy Blue Water veterans died of Agent Orange 20 years ago, their spouses just became eligible for benefits January 2020. We finally got the law changed. So now we want to make it within 2 years of the award of benefits. That way we can take care of these surviving spouses. My goodness, 3 decades of being denied, several decades of denial that even Agent Orange existed or did anything negative prior to that. I sure hope we can take this from needing to be done and done in 1 year.
And Trent might be a good year for that because the state legislators are trying to figure out what to do with that surplus. This would be a good way to take care of those survivors that should have been eligible for help before.
You know, and by the time they look at it, we're probably looking at a property tax shift in any given county of 0.01%. They'll get down to doing the fiscal note, the impact on this. 0.01% property tax shift in the most impacted counties to take care of these widows of our Navy veterans, the ones who have been denied their benefits. So I'm hoping I can make a persuasive argument over there. I'm hoping that Minnesota's military community, veterans, and supporters will step up for this one and make the point loud and clear. This was too long. It was the federal government's hands. Now it's Minnesota.
And Trent, I want to get to one other item before we run out of time. And, you know, when I got back from Vietnam decades ago, state of Minnesota paid the Vietnam veterans a little bonus.
They did. At World War I, World War II, Vietnam, Gulf War, every war, Korean War, sorry, I didn't mean to leave them out. Every war that this country has had, except for post 9/11, except for Iraq and Afghanistan, it's actually in our state constitution, but we haven't gotten around to paying my generation, the Iraq-Afghanistan generation, the bonus.
Grant, we got 1 minute left. Veterans Day on the Hill. When are you going to try to get all our veterans to come over to the Capitol?
Veterans Day on the Hill. We're going to have the largest crowd ever. We're going to hold it outdoors on the front steps of the Capitol April 20th. The DAV of Minnesota is going to fund buses. We'll do our best to space people out, keep it safe. April 20th, not just veterans, supporters. We got to be able to show up like some of the special interest groups and make our voices heard and take care of like these surviving spouses and our veterans in general.
And we can find more information on all of this at davmn.org.
Davmn.org. That's the place to go.
Trent, I want to thank you again for coming in today. We had an open spot, and you ran right over here. Appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And keep up the great work at DAV of Minnesota.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
That was Trent Dilks, the executive director from Disabled American Veterans Department of Minnesota on Minnesota Military Radio. Joining me now is Marty Howell, who is the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers and the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer. Marty, thanks for calling in today.
Thanks for having me, Tom. It's a pleasure to be here.
Marty, we had a little switch up this week. The state command sergeant major from the Minnesota National Guard is down in Texas welcoming home some troops from the 1 of the 194 that have been over in the Middle East, and he thought he was supposed to be on next week, which was your spot. So we flipped him today, so thanks for joining us. But, you know, those folks are coming into Texas, and they're coming in for reintegration. And yep. I know that you and your county veteran service officers play a part there.
You betcha we do. usually every time when the guard deploys and on their return back and their reintegration, we try to get there and get to them right away before they're even back here, back to Minnesota. And we sit down with them and we meet with them. We get them signed up. A lot of them are eligible for VA benefits, like health care benefits and things like that. Or if maybe they got hurt while they were over there or something like that, we can get them taken care of. So we sit down with them. We meet with each and every single one of those soldiers as they're coming back. It's really a neat thing. We've got a couple of CVSOs down there right now, and we've actually got a team, and they go whenever they're coming back, and you know, now they're down there in Texas where it's warm.
So, Marty, we know that what you're telling us is they're down there doing what they do every day, and that is to help our veterans with any medical issues that arose from their time in the military, and when it's fresh and they just came back from a long deployment, good time to let them know that you're there to help.
You bet it is. And what's nice about that is, too, is everybody's got a life to get back to when they get home. You know, you've got, you know, wife, kids, and job probably. And, you know, with all of those things that are going on, you usually don't have a lot of time for those other things. And they get put aside. And we're trying to stop that and get in there right away and help them so that, you know, it's not put aside. They do address it right away. And then when they come home, they can take care of all that other stuff they need to.
Yep, kind of important to get home and get re-familiar with the family. So, Marty, the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officers, what's the mission of the association?
Well, we've got our main core mission right now is to train and educate county veteran service officers throughout the state. We're also there to, you know, have impact, if we can, on legislative decisions. And with our training now, with this COVID and the way things have been, it's really been a little bit of a real tough nut, if you will. We're trying to get people together and get some of our spring training done, which starts up here soon. And we usually have conferences where we get together, and that's kind of a nice thing. You learn a lot from just, you know, being around each other and just some of your talking with each other. You know, hey, what do? You know, that kind of thing. And you know, this year we're going to have to put that aside because with this going on, we have to, you know, safety's got to be first. So we're trying to streamline some of that into some hybrid stuff, and we're working with the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs on that. And you know, I think we're going to have some good training that comes up, but you know, we'll see how that goes. And then
so Marty, as a county veteran service officer, it's your job to know where all of the resources are that are available to help veterans and their families.
That's right. And we're doing that, and we're going to get the rest of our CVSOs. We've got a bunch of new ones. We've had a kind of an influx of retiring CVSOs lately. So we've got a bunch of new guys coming in, or guys and gals, I should say. And we're going to get them trained up here, coming up here soon. So that's going to be good. On the legislative slide, we've got a group of us that are going up to Washington, D.C. here at the end of February, and Minnesota is one of the biggest, you know, involved in the National Association of County Veteran Service Officers. In fact, we're a founding state, and so there's going to be, I'll be going there, and then we've got, I think it's three other CVSOs from across the state, so it's going to be pretty, that's going to be a pretty big deal. That's awesome.
And, Marty, we just had Trent Dilks from DAV of Minnesota on, and they've set the date, April 20th, Veterans Day on the Hill. I'm sure you're going to have some county veteran service officers down there, too.
Oh, you bet we are. The Veterans Day on the Hill is a wonderful event. And, you know, in our communities, we work really hard and diligently to try to line up, you know, rides or transportation, and there's a lot of that's already out there, too. And, you know, organizing our veterans and say, hey, get down here and be a part of this. It's because it's such a wonderful event to be at.
So if our listeners want to know more about that, they can either go to davmn.org or they can probably just visit with their county veteran service officer and get as much information as they need.
You betcha. Or another thing is go to your Legion, your DAV, or your VFW meetings, too. Because a lot of us go to those meetings and we talk about those things there, too. So being a part of your service organization is always a good thing.
And grab your fellow veterans, get on the bus, and get down to the Capitol, and let's see what we can get done this year.
You betcha. You betcha. It's going to be good.
Marty, we're out of time, but I want to thank you for joining us this week on Minnesota Military Radio.
Thank you very much, Tom. I appreciate being here.
Marty Hughes, the president of the Minnesota Association of County Veteran Service Officer and the Roseau County Veteran Service Officer. We have one message today. Minnesota military members or veterans, if you're interested in starting or changing your career to the building and construction trades, consider the multi-trade apprenticeship readiness program called Building Strong Communities. Through a partnership between the Minnesota Building and Construction Trades and North Hennepin Community College, you'll be equipped with the knowledge and skills needed to successfully enter a union-registered apprenticeship program. Register today at buildstrong.org or call 612-379-4210 by February 4th so you can graduate this May in time to work for the 2022 construction season. We're just about out of time. Thanks for listening to this edition of Minnesota Military Radio. I'd like to thank our guest for joining us this week, Dr. Robert McGovern, of Minneapolis VA Healthcare System, Trent Dilks from the DAV of Minnesota, Marty Howe from the Association of County Veteran Service Officers, Commissioner Larry Herkey of the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, and finally, Minnesota's Adjutant General, Major General Sean Mankey. Please join us next week as we talk with a civil servant Minnesota National Guard member and get an update from the Department of Minnesota Veterans of Foreign Wars. That's coming up next weekend on this station or online anytime at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com. I'm Tom Lyons, and I hope that you make a difference in someone's life this week.
Minnesota Military Radio is a production of iHeartMedia, the Minnesota Department of Veterans Affairs, the Minneapolis VA, Beyond the Yellow Ribbon, and the Minnesota National Guard. Your host is Tom Lyons, founder and owner of Phelan Partners Limited, a merger and acquisition advisory firm. Tom is a life member of the American Legion, VFW, Vietnam Veterans of America, and the DAV. For podcasts and the latest updates, follow us at MinnesotaMilitaryRadio.com.